Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to Starbucks, powered by Chris Gates Fitness. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Tyler, not Jim. What's up, Tyler?
I'm here, bright and early.
You look it. You look like you're bright and early.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm tired today. I don't know what it is.
Long weekend?
No, just a lot of baseball. A lot of baseball. We're getting that part. Winning. Yeah, I know. And I'm in the dog days of my baseball.
Yeah. How many more weeks do you have?
About 4 or 5.
Okay. Yeah.
Right in the middle of it.
You're right in the middle of that grind.
Got 5 games this week.
Well, Pirates are definitely not in the middle of theirs. This is just starting. It's very young, but the Pirates are 11-5.
Thank God.
They're tied with the Dodgers, the most wins in the NL. How about that?
Yeah, almost the mirror image of last year. I don't know if we expected them to come out as hot as they did last year, but somehow they have. No complaints here.
Yeah, no complaints. But I mean, some big news. Like, we have to talk about Kutch finally hits his 300. What an accomplishment! Kutch finally hits his 300. He has not looked good at the plate this year. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about how Andrew McCutchen has 300 home runs now, and he did it in black and gold.
Yeah, that's the cool part, Dave. He got to do it as a Pirate. I don't know if there's ever concern that he wouldn't do it. It was more of just a waiting game all offseason. Just let's get this one over with, especially as it kind of drug on. And He did have his struggles early in the year. But congrats to Andrew McCutchen. Every single milestone he hits is well-deserved, and most of them came in black and gold, at least the bulk majority of those numbers.
Yeah. Again, he's meant so much to the city, so much to the team. Now that he's back, it's awesome. It'd be cool if maybe he unblocks me.
Yeah, you're going to clip that up and send it to him?
Yeah. I don't know how, though.
Jim will have to do it.
Yeah. But let's maybe, get into that a little bit here. Like, now that this is off his back, now that 300 is there, I don't know. This is hard for me to actually say and see, but, do you think maybe that now this is past, he can get better? Do you think this is on his mind and that's why he has been struggling? Or do you think the struggles are more of Andrew McCutchen struggling?
I think it could be a combination of both. It's probably going to weigh on him a little bit. You can't get that out of your head, but there's also the part where he was injured late last season. He missed a lot of spring. Andrew McCutchen is notoriously not exactly a fast starter. So the combination of everything is probably leading to a poor April to this point, but you also do have to wonder if the age is starting to become an issue with him. But we saw yesterday he put together better at bats. He had 2 hits yesterday, I believe. He's collected a few in the last couple days, so hopefully it's starting an uphill trend here for him.
Yeah, I guess I'm much more hopeful. There's not much that I'm seeing that just says, he's good. We're okay here. This is probably just 300. There's some concerns for me here. But again, all the things that you talk about are factors in this. And again, the 300 now, that was probably weighing on him to some degree. As much as he says, and he said, he doesn't like to think about this, but he'd be remiss if he said he never did. It's something that's there. I don't know, though. The other thing that I figure if this was such an impact on him, and let me go on my soapbox here. He'd be swinging at everything, and he's not. I think, what did I say? As of yesterday, he has 7 hot lookings on the season, which is a ridiculous amount compared to his strikeouts. I forget the actual numbers now. I should have pulled them up. Like, he's standing at the plate, you know? But again, I don't want to go too deep into that. That's really a team issue as well, that we could talk to maybe just slightly a little bit here. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm glad it's passed. I'm glad he looked better yesterday at the plate. I'm glad it's passed. It's the middle of April now. Maybe things will start turning for him. I'm still not ready to write off Andrew McCutchen by any means, right? But like, Andrew McCutchen has 300 home runs now. Maybe that goes to his story here. Like, this is why he is so important to Pittsburgh, this team, like his accomplishments, what he's done. Such an awesome dude.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be great if you could see things he tweets now, but
that's what
I'm like. You decided to call out Andrew McCutchen on Twitter, and now you are blocked.
I don't even say call him out, but geez.
I would never.
But anyways, yeah. So again, I guess kudos to Andrew McCutchen for 300. Really, really cool stuff. It's finally gone. It's finally passed. We can move forward from it. He can move forward from it. Moving forward from that, some down news. Marco Gonzalez hits the 15-day DI. 15-day IL. I almost said DL. I was going with Ryan's DL here. He said last show. He hits the 15-day IL. And I don't know. Like it's not nerves. It doesn't sound like it's nerves, right? It's the forearm, which I don't know which one I'd rather hear right now. But like, this is one thing, you know, with rotation, we talk about the risk factor and the health, especially, and Marco Gonzalez is part of that. And now he goes down quite early into the season on the IL. Are you worried about that?
I mean, I think we'd kind of be silly to not be worried about it. Marco Gonzalez is a guy that carries a very high injury risk. That's why the Pirates were able to get him so affordably. And it stinks. He's been really effective in the rotation at this point.
Yeah.
This is why we've said a bunch of times whenever we're talking about the rotation that we're probably just wasting our time talking about who's going to be removed from it because someone's going to go down. Well, here we are. Hopefully it's nothing serious with Marco, but the way his injury history has just been compiled over the last few years, he misses significant time. So hopefully it's just something minor, but history kind of shows otherwise with Marco.
And it was really weird because he had a really good outing. He looked good. He looked pretty sharp. And it didn't appear as if there was anything to worry about, like as far as injury goes. Mm-hmm. This came out of nowhere. You know, he's going to IL for an injury, and everyone, you know, especially me, mainly, I can speak to, is just like, whoa, why? What are we doing here? What was the nerve? Like, did he wake up this morning? He couldn't feel his fingers. I'm nervous. It had nothing to do with nerves. Again, at least it seems it. What they say is the forearm strain. But then again, I'm thinking like, well, that's kind of weird too. So maybe, right? Like maybe it's not significant because of how he looked yesterday. But then again, he's also soft tossing. Maybe it just doesn't seem to affect him that much either. Yeah. I don't know. I'm nervous though, because like you said, like this definitely takes a hit on the depth. And that was what we thought was going to be part of the problem, especially early on. Like these guys have to last. Like you need to get guys through June, July till reinforcements come. Albeit one of those reinforcements is now traded to the Yankees. But you know, like that was part of the issue. And Marco Gonzalez goes down already. Like it's not even today's tax day. He goes down April 14th.
Yeah.
Like Vince Velasquez lasted longer than him. So that's a little bit worrisome. But I guess what we really probably need to talk about maybe is, you know, if this is going to be significant long time, who do you see replacing him? Now, obviously, it's not going to be Skeens. I didn't think it was going to be Skeens. The Pirates pretty much put that out the window. It's not going to be Skeens, so cool. But, you know, he did pitch last on Saturday. Technically speaking, there's an off day on Thursday. They don't really need his spot right now. Like, they could wait until, like, you know, the week after. What do you anticipate them maybe doing here if it is going to be more long-term?
It seems like the obvious answer right now would be Quinn Priester. As just the guy to be called up. But also, I think they have other options that are already on the major league team with the bullpen, with Luis Ortiz, with Rwanzi, they could go that direction. I don't know if they want to, especially Rwanzi. Seems like they're dead set on letting him work out of the pen right now.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be shocked maybe to see a piggybacking type of situation or a couple bullpen days until we figure out more of how long this is going to be. But I wouldn't be shocked to see Ortiz take that spot right now and then go from there with it.
Now, that's kind of interesting because, I mean, someone actually did mention that. And I guess, like, the one caveat is Ortiz hasn't pitched more than two innings since March 15th. And Rowan's mm-hmm. since March 13th, I think. And I mean, since then, it's always been, like, more one-inning outings than two-inning outings and such. So, like, I don't know if the Pirates would really, really do that. But, like, I could see, like you said, like, more of a piggyback. I mean, maybe, potentially. But that certainly is something they could do, maybe more short-term. I think I'm more on like the Quinn Priester type too. I mean, he actually slots right in. He pitched the same day that Marco Gonzalez did. Kind of effective. We'll talk a little more about him, I think, with Murph as we get on to this next segment. But yeah, I mean, Skeens doesn't make sense. It's only pitched, 55 pitches, 3.1 mm-hmm. innings his last time out. You know they want to stretch him out. They want to get him going. They're more worried about the five-day routine, getting him there, than anything at this point in time. And that's why you're seeing like the limited innings, right? Because that's what's most important. Like, save the bullets when he's in the majors. But I could see him starting to get ramped up. And you saw like he went a little bit more than the three innings he did the past few times. But yeah, to me, I feel like it's probably Quinn, if anything. There's no 40-man roster spots you got to worry about. He lines right up with the rotation spot. And he's a guy you anticipate on pitching this year. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, to me, I feel like it's probably Quinn Priester also. He's been pitching pretty effectively.
Yeah, well, I'll be fine with either way because they're all guys I'd like to see get a little bit of run this year.
That's fair. Cool. Well, let's get on to our next segment then. So we have, of course, Anthony Murphy from Bucks on Deck. So here's Starbucks on Deck. Welcome to the show once again, Anthony Murphy. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. I think this is the first time I've actually tried to force myself out of bed this early since the surgery, so I'm lagging a little bit.
Well, you and Tyler can
but doing good.
Get right along. But, yeah, so welcome to the show. Obviously, again, Anthony, Bucks on Deck. Check them out. They have some nice daily stuff. But we bring you on because we're going to talk some prospects. Definitely a lot of prospects to talk about. But I feel like it's going to be, once again, pitching heavy this week. Like in my mind, you can talk to us. But I feel like outside of Lonnie White Jr., who has been kind of tearing it up, although striking out a ton still. offensively, like not really a whole lot to talk about, but definitely a lot pitching-wise.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know you guys were talking about Quinn Priester a little bit. He seems like the logical choice to kind of slide in if that's what they want to do. I mean, some of the numbers look good for him. Like, what is it? He had like six or seven strikeouts or something like that over the weekend. Only pitched a couple of innings as a doubleheader. Breaking stuff looked pretty good. Left a lot of pitches over the middle of the plate. So I know control, command, that kind of stuff has always been his main concern. And I think that'll be the main thing to watch for him. If he is the guy that gets the call to kind of take his place, and you guys mentioned that they might not need to make a move immediately. They have an off day this week, so they can technically, skip over the fifth rotation spot one time. So they can maybe give Quinn another start in AAA to keep trying to work on things. Maybe give him one more start to get a little more stretched out, work on the command, that kind of stuff on there. But it'll be interesting to see if he does get the call, to see how he answers the bell, because, you know, it's big opportunity for him, kind of thing.
Right.
There's a good chance he starts getting squeezed out of the future thing if he comes up and doesn't perform well.
Yeah, that's a good point. But like you said, opportunity, I mean, that's one thing about like all the three guys we mentioned, about like Rowan Z, Luis Ortiz, Quinn Priester, you know, with this five-man rotation, like someone's not going to make it out of camp. Obviously, Jared Jones was the one who did, and like none of them did. But, you know, Quinn Priester is the one that finds himself back in AAA. So the other thing, though, is like you mentioned, I mean, that we felt like with this rotation, there was definitely going to be opportunities probably sooner than later because of this injury or performance. Yeah. Performance has been really good, actually, for the rotation, but now we find ourselves with the injury here quickly. So, you know, that's why you really needed this depth. You know, Quinn Priester, again, like he's been pitching fairly effective. But, yes, like it would be nice to see him come up and do something because there's a lot of pressure, as we're going to talk. There's not only this rotation, like the guys that are ahead of him performing, but like the guys that are below him are starting to come up and they're performing. So, right, like it's kind of time to pitch or
he's kind of got to come out and shove if he gets the opportunity here to kind of stay in the plans. Cause you got obviously Paul Skene's coming up. I mean, you got some of the kids in AA that could be pushing, you know, sooner rather than later kind of stuff. You even got some guys in like in Greensboro that maybe aren't talked about too much yet. That kind of stuff that like Greensboro's rotation's kind of like, at least in my opinion, they've been stealing the show so far in the system. They've looked really well. You know, Hunter Barco's two starts now, and he's just looked lights out. Looks like the guy that they're like before he got hurt at Florida, they're talking about him jumping up into like the first round kind of thing, and he's looked every bit of a guy that would have been like a top day one top 20 kind of pick so far. So he's looked good. What is it? The entire rotation for Greensboro last week. They, in six games, they allowed four runs over 22 innings and struck out 23 people. Like, and they
that'll just play
all week. Yeah. All week. Even the guys that like, it's like two guys, especially that like we were really big on, like at the site, Alessandro Ercolani and Wilbur Dotel. Like even that they came up and like Ercolani's 19 years old pitching in high A right now. You know, he didn't have a good showing in the Arizona Fall League. Control was like a really big thing, but he pitched four innings, struck out five, only walked one. Dotel he made like second start on Sunday, so like it was a lot of a shorter leash. The Winston-Salem broadcast actually mentioned that he hit 100 miles an hour twice, and like he was pumping like 97 plus. Yeah. I saw him hit 99 a bunch in Bradenton last year. Never heard anything about triple digits. So this is new. That's exciting. He's a guy that we really liked at the site as well. Thought he could be like a breakout type of guy. 100 will definitely get you noticed by a lot of people. Patrick Briley, he had a good week. Just the entire Greensboro rotation. And you know, Greensboro known for, you know, not exactly being the most pitcher friendly kind of thing. Everyone has the kind of stuff to kind of get past that kind of those kind of problems and stuff like that. They all have the ability to miss bats with their pitches. So,
and I think that's interesting because I think enough people probably know of like Hunter Barco, right? But I think all eyes have always been on Altoona this year, you know, when it comes to the pitching, the rotation. So for you to come out here and pretty much tell us like, whoa, pause. Also, keep an eye on the entire rotation in Greensboro as well.
There's a lot of pitching in the system. And like we talk about the main guys, like, you know, Bubba, he had what, he threw four no hit innings. And I don't even think that was probably, he looked good, but also I wouldn't even put that at the top of how I've seen him pitch before, which is still very encouraging. I think he missed a lot of spots and stuff like that. But, you know, you got Bubba, you got Anthony Solomito, who's still kind of working his way through the season, had a little bit of a rough outing on Sunday. Braxton Ashcraft still kind of working through some stuff and everything. Like, you know, the main guys, they're still getting settled this year. So once they get set, you know, Thomas Harrington's on his way back from injury. Like, we already say that there's a lot of pitching in the system. By the end of the season, there could be even more guys to be talking about. So
it also seems like
some of that hitting.
It seems like there's just an increase in stuff in the system too, instead of a lot of guys that just throw. Like,
yeah, and that's, I feel like the last couple drafts,
see it everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, they, you could say, you could start seeing it with their last couple of drafts, and like, yeah, you could look at like the overall numbers and stuff like that. Maybe it wasn't pretty, and there was like a lot of reliever risk and stuff like that with a lot of, but there was an obvious focus to get like I was, there's obvious focus to get stuff in the system. All right, we're going to get guys with stuff, and then we will teach them how to use it properly. We'll teach them how to control it. We'll teach them how, you know, like, there's even a couple guys in Bradenton that. The control is not good right now, but they have the stuff. If they can get that stuff on the, if they can teach them how to throw strikes, then you're, the list of pitchers just go so deep on there. And you can start seeing the draft strategy that maybe at first everyone's kind of like raising the eyebrow at, like, you know, what are they doing here? Now you kind of, 'cause like, okay, this is what's going on. This is what they're trying to do with it.
I also think that's just the most effective way to fill out a bullpen in the long run as well. Yeah. It's just, you have all these guys with upside arms.
Yeah.
And you're not wasting $10.5 million on a reliever.
Yeah. You got a 21 year old that's pumping 100 miles an hour in Greensboro right now. Okay. Maybe he's not a starter long-term, but like, he's 21. So let him try as a starter. And then if it doesn't work, okay, we'll just go back to throwing the 100 and we're going to stick you in the bullpen here. And good luck hitters trying to hit that.
And I'm glad you bring that up, because that was definitely some talking points, especially last draft when it was pitcher and pitcher and pitcher. And they drafted a pitcher. And oh, they drafted a pitcher. And it was just like nothing.
And they were all like relievers.
Pitching. Mm-hmm. And right. But right. So, and so far you're starting to see some dividends from some of them. But like you said, like that just filling up this entire system with arms. And that's one thing. I mean, obviously you need arms, and we're seeing it firsthand these past few mm-hmm. years. From the major leagues, why you need arms. So yeah, that's really interesting and nice to see, because I think everyone felt this system was filled with arms already. And with you coming here telling us like there's probably gonna be more at the end of the year, something to be hopeful about, because I think it's been a while too since I've been kind of down on the farm system, you know, to a degree for most of this rebuild, and obviously, like, you know, the previous regime as well. So to see it like finally here. Guys starting to actually develop, seeing some real talent, and there's just even mm-hmm. much more coming. Definitely very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like the big jump obviously is to like, I think the big downfall of this, the front office at this point so far is with a lot of the guys in the system is making that jump from like high A to double A. So like I say, there's a lot of promising guys in Bradenton and Greensboro and stuff like that. Really the biggest test is yet to be seen with them. We've seen a lot of guys kind of stall out in Altoona. But like even then, you look at some of the guys who are there right now, and Bo Chandler's doing he's made three starts with Altoona. Two of them has been against Harrisburg, and Harrisburg has, you know, Dylan Cruz and some, you know, some of the better hitting prospects in the game. And collectively in those two starts, he's pitched 9 innings and has allowed like one hit and struck out 14. So like,
yeah, that's encouraging.
Yeah. They've had some people stall out, but also, yeah, James Wood was there at the end of last year, and he made, like, oh, I wrote an article on Chandler's. Yeah. He's in AAA. James Wood's shoving in AAA right now. He'll be in the majors like really soon. But when Chandler faced Wood last year, he made him look silly. Like, way ahead and stuff like that. But they're slowly getting there with it. And the if you know a lot of people are going to stall out in double A, because that's just the nature of things in the minors, the best plan that you can have is just have as many possibilities as possible. Throw as much stuff against the wall, have as many people with quality stuff as possible. And then that way, if only 10% of them are going to make it through it, you have higher odds now of more making it through.
Talk to me about Bubba Chandler real quick. Is he still just as raw as maybe even last year, or are we starting to see him progress as a pitcher?
I think so. Like his second outing was started really rough, and I think he like the first the seven of his first eight pitches went for balls. And like the one that was a called strike, you could probably make a case was probably just a ball anyways. I think he got like a home call there with it. So, but then he kind of like a switch turned on and he just started throwing darts in the strike zone. And when he's hitting the top of the strike zone with that fastball, no one's going to hit it. But I mean, he's still, 20, 21 years old. He's still really young for double. There's still going to be like, he really turned it on at the end of last year, but there's still going to be like little things here and there that but it's getting close. The stuff is good. His fastball is insanely good. You know, we talk about Paul Skenes just because of the triple digits, but like Chandler's fastball, as far as like overall grade, like I'd be willing to slap really close to the same grade on that I would on Paul Skenes. Because I mean, he can get it up to 97, 98 at the top of the zone. It moves like very few fastballs I've seen move in the zone. He has a really good changeup. The changeup is, I don't think is talked about quite as much by other people with it, but like the arm action is nearly identical to the fat. Like you can't tell, like I got to see him in Greensboro, his last start in Greensboro, and coming out the arm, you can't tell the difference. So it's either going to be 98 or it's going to be 88. And like, if you just don't know. And so it's the changeup when he's hitting the bottom of the zone with it, that's unhittable as well. Still working on the breaking pitch a little bit. Just kind of needs to refine it a little bit. Nothing completely unusual for a 21 year old on there. I think most of the time you're talking about a 21 year old and it's the changeup that needs the most work. So like, I guess that's an okay trade-off with it. And if the changeup's gonna be fine, then okay, let him work on the breaking ball a little bit. So I think he's still way ahead of where you would probably figure someone in his situation would be. And you think about, technically this would be his draft year if he had gone to college. So we'd be talking about like, you know, where he would be drafted, and he's pitching in Double A. So, and pitching well in Double A.
That's all fair and very encouraging. And I agree. Like, I felt he was going to be much more of a project to this point.
Yes.
I think the development of last year, like how quickly it kind of came together that second half was huge and where he's at right now. So everything, yeah, I mean, that's a very, very good point. And man, again, just like super encouraging about these arms in the system right now.
Yeah. Thomas Harrington back.
I'll my guy back. Piece of Thomas Harrington. Yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy.
Well, let's round up the pitching on the guy everyone really wants to talk about. So Paul Skenes makes his latest start, 3.1. I mean, I don't know if there really is anything to talk about. I mean, everyone just knows he's the greatest pitcher that ever existed. So is there anything that you can like fill us in more to prove that?
I mean, he definitely looked a lot more, human this last time around. He definitely a little more hittable. The fastball kind of got left in parts of the plate that he did give up a couple more hits. Oh, he gave up like a whole three hits or something like that. Like, but they were all like super weakly hit or yeah. But I mean, yeah, I don't know if there's anything else you can really say. I think I said last week that like it's really just a matter of building him up and getting used to the routine at this point. I don't think there's anything that you really need to look for him to do in the minors outside of that.
Like, I mean, it's at least encouraging, like looking back at Gerrit Cole when he was in AAA, he was still hittable.
Yeah.
Like he struggled here and there and he was working on stuff, but.
Yeah. From everything that like, you know, that's understood between like past front office to this front office that like they're to let Skenes be himself here and kind of be the kind of pitcher that he wants to be that makes him that effective as opposed to maybe the previous front office kind of stuff. So they're letting Skenes be Skenes and.
Yeah, Cole was obviously working on stuff there, but Skenes is like, I don't know, you're not even touching him. It really is like he's just playing against a bunch of little kids.
And this is triple.
And this line, the Toledo lineup is was fairly strong too. I mean, they had Jace Jung, who's a top like 50 prospect in the game. They've had Akil Baddoo. They had some quality hitters in that lineup too, and like they pitched really good.
Yeah, it's super encouraging. It's just so funny too. Is like, I mean, the guy's averaging over 2 strikeouts an inning. He's just making people look silly, and he's just like, it's boring to talk about. Like, that's how good he is. We're just kind of boring to talk about Paul Skeens at this point in time. Like, yeah, once again, he's just really, really good. Oh, he gave up 3 hits. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see him in the majors and like the real test.
Exciting.
Yeah. Well, then I guess let's kind of wrap up here a little bit just on the bats. Again, there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, we talked about Lonnie White Jr. last week. I feel like it's kind of the same thing. I mean, the power's still there. He's hitting the ball pretty hard and also striking out a lot. What's your thoughts on Lonnie so far?
I think it's funny, and I'm working on a video breakdown of him for later this week on the site. The strikeouts are obviously a concern, something to watch on it, but watching him play makes me think back to when I was in Greensboro last year. I talked to Robbie Hammack. He was the manager then. He's the manager of Altoona now. And we were talking about like players making the jump from level to level. And he always mentioned that consistency is usually the biggest adjustment players have to make. It's like players that like the in single A, you know, they'll have like their best stuff one day, and then they may take them a couple days out there to kind of they'll struggle, and then they'll be back. And the higher levels you go, the better players are the ones who are consistent, the one who put the best version of themselves on the field more often. And I kind of feel like that's Lonnie right to a T. It's like, you know, we see the best of him. Like there's some times where he sits on a curveball, sits back and just uses every bit of raw power he has and sends it to right center, like way out, completely over the fence, just demolishes a baseball. And then the next at bat, same exact pitch, he's out way in front and swings and misses, and it's a strikeout. So it's really just about consistency with him at this point, learning how to do the same swing, the same, you know, all that stuff on a at-bat basis. And a lot like, I think, Bubba Chandler last year, I just feel like there'll probably be a moment where just like it all clicks for him. And then we'll just see a lot more consistent. I don't think he's ever going to be like this high batting average guy. He may be a guy that probably has like a 40, 45 for a hit tool. So he's probably going to be like a 240, 250 hitter maybe at the majors probably. But like, I'll take that with premium defense in center field. He is like a cannon for an arm. And then obviously the raw power and the speed, like even at 250, he's a guy who can push for like a 2020 season in the majors, like when everything's clicking easily. And we haven't even had a chance to see his speed really, because everything he's hitting is going for extra bases pretty much right now. So we haven't even had a chance to see the speed.
Do you think with him, it's, I know you mentioned the inconsistency, but do you think there's something with the swing, or is it a pitch selection thing with the strikeouts? Because personally, I have in past questioned the bat speed on him, but I think that's, he's shown that after injury, it's there. But I do question if it's all the way there, if he's going to catch up to major league fastballs.
So like the fastballs haven't been, like, there are some fastballs like up in the zone and stuff like that he has missed on. And so that is something to watch on that. Mainly with him, at least in Bradenton, whenever like I had all this stat cast numbers in front of me, it was mainly like breaking and off speed pitches that he had like a high amount of like his swing and strike rate on fastballs last year in Bradenton was like I think it was like a tad under 10%, which like that's good. I'll take that every day. And then like the breaking off speed pitches were like 15 to 20%, which obviously that's not as great on it. I think it's more of right him. It's just consistency with the swing, like the repeatability kind of thing on it. He gets out too far in front right now with on a lot of the breaking pitches and stuff like that. And I guess maybe he's better the mental side of things too, because when he is late on the fastball, it's like he catches himself thinking, you know, one way or the other and stuff like that. And he doesn't kind of just let the pitch come to it naturally and do that, adjust at that point. So he might like be predetermining what he thinks he's going to see and then just kind of rides it out from there.
Also raw as can be. Another football guy.
Yeah, he hasn't even played like a full season. He's in high A right now, and like he's from the same draft class for as Bubba. So like if like you could like he's in high A with less of a season of pro ball experience, and really when this would be also be his draft year as well. So you think about it, like Mitch Jeb is on the same team, and he was drafted out of college last year. So you would think like so if the Pirates were to draft him this year, like he went to school and they draft him instead this year, he would be probably starting in Greensboro next year. And he's already there this year with a very limited amount of experience as it is. So like I said, I feel like this is going to be like the Bubba situation all over again. Like there could just come a time where everything will just like click and he just kind of is off to the races.
Yeah, I like that. And because like with Bubba, you mentioned like it's more circumstances for Lonnie White Jr. because of the injuries and such. He hasn't had time to develop, where Bubba just obviously was just super. Well, I guess Lonnie White Jr. is kind of the same thing. I mean, he was a football, baseball guy. You know, it's like that's the thing too. Like he wasn't, it's not like Anthony Solometo where he's like zoned in on being a baseball player all the time and pitching his entire life. Like, you know, Lonnie White Jr. just had to become a full-time baseball player when he was drafted, much like Bubba Chandler also. So, but again, like he's lost a lot of development. So I'm still willing to be quite patient with him. You see the talent there. Yeah. It's nice to see, you know, some of the production. And yeah, if he can have that clicking moment, that'll be pretty big for this farm system as well. Because again, as you see, we've talked a lot of arms, not so much about hitters. I guess maybe we'll just wrap it up real quick here. Hasn't done a whole lot. It's not a whole lot, I guess, to talk about in that sense. But Tamar Johnson, I mean, that's the hitter you want to see. That's the hitter you're going to want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Struggling, but I would say this, like the walks are still there. He's not striking out a ton, just seems to not be getting hits. So what's up with Tamar? Mm-hmm. Why is he not an MVP player?
It's like you said, the walks are still there. Like his eye at the plate is one of the best, like he has one of the best approaches at the plate that I've seen in watching like any minor leaguer. The last couple of years, like he does not chase out of the zone for almost anything. And, I still feel like he's still trying to just take everything 450 down dead center or down the line or something like that. Like let the stuff come to him. He's putting the ball in play. He put the ball in play a lot more over the weekend and during this past week, but it's just struggling to make solid contact right now. I mean, it's still early in the season. Some guys are still behind others and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, if the strikeouts are starting to come down, that's the first step with it. Him, and like I said, he doesn't chase, so it's making more consistent contact in the zone. I feel like with him, if it's going to click, it'll click at some point because he's doing everything else right. Like he's not swinging at bad pitches. That's the big step that you get with a lot of kids in those levels, to get them to stop swinging at bad pitches. And he just never does. So
the bright side is that usually this early in the year, he struck out 40% of the time, not doing that yet. So, yeah. And then everything clicks after that. So maybe we're on to something here.
Yeah, I mean, just got to take a little bit at a time with him, I guess, and he'll get there at some point.
He was just faced some way better pitching in Major League camp, and now he's got to get used to the inferior pitching.
I mean,
there it is.
I mean, that's a thing. That's
what I'm going with.
Very nice.
Hey, I'm not risking getting blocked like DiNardo.
Well, cool. Well, Anthony, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about? Anything that we haven't touched on that you wanted to mention?
I mean, the only, I mentioned them at one of the shows before that I was on with you guys as like an under the radar guy. Bradenton has not been a fun team to watch so far this year. They got the good old 6-game sweep last week, and they're 1-8, I believe. But Omar, if you're talking about Omar Alfonso, had a pretty good week. 6 for 17, run a double, 4 RBIs, walked 3 times. Was a guy that was on my kind of an under the radar guy for me this year, but had a lot of good metrics and exit velocity numbers and stuff like that. So he's having a pretty solid start here. He's doing a little catching and playing first base. So I know both of those, they're kind of weak in the system now at the point now. Right. Still a guy to watch for me. He's only 20. He won't turn 20 till like after, or 21 till like after the season, or right at the end of the season. So not much to watch with Bradenton, but he's been someone to kind of keep an eye on still.
Cool. Well, Anthony, as always, thanks for coming on, talking some Pirates prospects. And again, for anyone else, it is at _ two of them, right? A Murphy 88.
Two of them. Yep.
So make sure you get those. Make sure to check them out. Bucks on Deck. Great stuff. And as always, thank you, and we'll see you next week.
See you.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for jumping on.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that was awesome. Now, before we go any further, Tyler, just to bring this up once again. So the show is sponsored by Chris Gates Fitness. Now, Chris is a huge Pirate sports fan. Friend of the show. Now, he works with Jim. All right. And now I know Jim's just on off vacationing and whatever, doing whatever he wants. But Chris works with people of all over Pittsburgh, all over the world, to build muscle, burn fat, and improve their health and fitness. The goal of every person he works with is to make progress while learning how to substantially manage your diet and exercise routine for life. So if you're looking to get in shape this spring or get ready for summer vacation, again, like Jim, or even if you just want to start implementing some healthier habits, make sure you subscribe to his YouTube channel. Just search for Chris Gates Fitness on YouTube, or visit YouTube/ Chris Gates Fitness and you'll find him. Chris posts new videos every week. He has hundreds of videos about diet, exercise that you can watch and level up your routine. He has videos coming soon on the best fat loss fast foods, how to build your own home gym, new exercise tutorials, and more. And actually, I've shared a few of those on Twitter as well. So check those out. And while you're there, sign up for his free calorie calculator so you can start making progress today. So once again, that is youtube.com/ Chris Gates Fitness.
I need to look into that home gym one. I need to start doing something. I'm telling you.
There you go.
I need to look into that video.
Show you how to build it out.
I got to look that up tonight.
Nola wants to know, does Chris Gates help revive dead bodies? I'm not sure.
Apparently, because you're here right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Touch killed you.
Stop it. So let's talk this upcoming series then. As you always do, and that's how it finishes out. So, I mean, hey, the Pirates are, as we mentioned, 11-5. They are technically in second place in the division. Milwaukee is in first. Those rebuilding Milwaukee Brewers. But you know, the Mets were like an interesting team. Like, were they going to just rebuild and be bad? Are they going to go for it? They're winning some games right now. So this is going to be a pretty interesting series. You know, again, with the Pirates faced Baltimore. They faced, Detroit. They were winning at the time. You know, now they've gone and faced the Phillies and split that series. Now there's like another test, like the Mets here. So I guess, what's your take on this upcoming series?
It's going to be a tough one. The pitching matchups aren't easy. Pirates are going to see Severino and Quintana both.
Yeah.
Thankfully, two righties this series.
Yep.
Only one lefty. So we get to see a little bit of Cruz and Sawinski face some righties, which I'm looking forward to finally. Aside from that, it will be a good test for them. And it is nice that we're getting to see some of these tests early on. I mentioned that it mirrored last year, but it didn't seem like we got to see a test until around May. We're starting to see some of them early with this year's group. So anxious to see. I would really like to get 2 out of 3 here, obviously, but previously, I feel like I've been saying one will be okay. I want two here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think one will be okay. I mean, this team, one would be okay. I mean, that would put them at, 12-7. Like, that's still a very fine record to have,
I guess.
But we're greedy now. I mean, this team hasn't lost a series yet. We're greedy. Yeah. It's the New York Mets. We're greedy.
Yeah, they quit last year.
Right. But I'm with you. Like, it is encouraging. There's two righties. So that now it seems like, okay, maybe if these lefties get behind us so we can face more like normal starting pitching. But also, I mean, outside of Severino, who Severino's the velocity looks back to. But like outside him, Hauser and Quintana, not big velocity guys. A righty, a lefty. Hauser also just, I mean, he's just pedestrian. He's whatever.
He's a guy.
Luis Severino kind of worries me a little bit. Like, so that could be, that might be the one. Like, it's like Quintana, although I'm saying this, and they took Zach Wheeler and had 9 runs yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you're looking and penciling in, like the Quintana start, the Hauser start, like those are two that, okay, you know, this team could definitely do something with. Severino looks to be pretty good, which also is kind of disappointing because that was a guy that I wanted on this team, and he looks pretty good. But, yeah, he's the guy that's hitting about 97, sitting at 97 right now. We've seen Quintana. He's averaging like around 90 miles an hour as a righty. Like, he's a soft tossing righty at this point in time. So like I like Quintana, but that could definitely be one of those games too. It's like, you know what? Let's get after this guy.
Did you call Quintana soft tossing righty?
Yeah.
Why'd you call him a righty?
Wait, my bad. Lefty. he's a soft tossing.
You made me question myself there for a second. I'm like, wait.
Right.
He throws a batter hand, right?
Yeah. But he's basically become a soft tossing lefty at this point of time.
But yeah, he still found a way to be relatively effective.
Mm.
Severino and Quintana are going to be some tough matchups. I think you hope that you can get to Hauser. And then hopefully get one of those two. And like you said, they beat up on Zach Wheeler, kind of. But they scored 9 runs in Zach Wheeler's start.
Yeah. But 5 against Wheeler.
Yeah. So I mean, you never know. The bats are somehow producing runs without really hitting a long ball. So maybe that continues.
Or maybe the long ball game helped. Maybe
the long ball. I think I did say that Jack Suwinski this week will be the week that we see multiple home runs.
You did. Actually, you did. Credit to you. You did. So if that happens, and he did it in a big, he started in a big way yesterday with that grand slam.
Yeah, I guess starting to heat up. Sunday does include this week.
Not in the baseball world. That ends
in my world, it does.
New series today. But that's what's going to heat him up. That's what started it.
Exactly.
To make your point.
And we had a Cruz home run the day before. So those two got to start hitting the ball over the wall. And hopefully we see that start this series. Working team.
But as you talk, like, the team, pretty solid matchups. I mean, like, they match up pretty well with the Pirates. And you look at, like, the pitching, the bullpen, the offense. It's actually, like, pretty much mirrors, like, what the Pirates are right now. Like, their rotation's been solid. It's been good. The bullpen's been good, right? The lineup's been good. Now, I don't expect Lindor to be as awful as, I mean, he's atrocious. You think Kutch is bad? You know, Francisco Lindor is way worse than Andrew McCutchen is right now. Way worse. I don't anticipate that happening, but this offense is looking pretty good for them outside of him. So definitely some tests for the arms also. And Jared Jones will be making another start against this lineup too. So like also another test for Jared Jones, who, yeah, he faced Miami, but then the Orioles. Right. Like he's faced some really good, talented teams since. Mm-hmm. Now he'll have the Mets lineup. So another big test for him that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. And also a test for the bullpen with everything that's gone on with them starting to hit a little bit of a rough patch, just a few games that gave up some runs.
Right.
It's a test for them to, and David Bednar, hopefully, to show that they're back in the strength of this team.
Yes. Yeah, Holderman being back, he had a nice appearance. Bednar looked better. So, Chapman struggled his last time, but whatever. Chapman's good, I feel. I'm not worried about him. But yeah, maybe seeing the bullpen finally get to full strength this series too would be nice.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yes, let's hope. All right. So I don't know. Anything else that you want to talk about with this Mets series?
No. Just another test. Get 2 out of 3.
Edwin Diaz is back.
Ed Luz Diaz.
All right, let's do it. Let's get another meme of him putting up in the sky. The raise it.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, then let's get out of here then. So who's on the post game tonight? I don't remember. It's not me.
It's not me. I don't know.
All right. It's probably a combination of Doug, Ryan, Cody, or Neil. So we'll be back tonight at the post game show with somebody. Somebody. Hopefully some more free sandwiches. But outside of that, Tyler and I are out of here. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.